talk about decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern Studio A.
Understanding must arise during these times of unparalleled deceit. A view into the depths of society upon which this country has fallen. A storm brews upon the horizon. It's been said that those that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear will play a paramount role in the furthering of humanity and civilized society. But can civilized society and humanity survive the coming conflicts not seen since a dawn of time in ages bypassed? But you can find true forms of information and knowledge in abundance at revolution.radio, freedomsluts.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the globe. Stand upon the right side of history. Right side of history.
General Homer, you've
got to
get us out of here now! I won't let you down, son.
Revolution.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or you would be!
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome, folks, to another episode of Cabal Empire Exposed, where we take a quick examination of all the week's important news developments. And we analyze them from the perspective of truth, at least as I see it, as much as I can, as a fallible human being. But I do my best. So, welcome again. It is now 6 a.m., 6:02 on the East Coast, daylight time. A little bit after, 3 a.m. on the West Coast, and so somewhere early morning in between. And then we have a little bit of the afternoon hours in Europe, so I guess there might be a few people listening from that part of the world. So let us begin. Yeah, as I always say, another very hectic, crazy week, and it's just the tempo just keeps getting hotter and higher and hotter and higher with each passing week. So I'm just going to jump right into it. I started writing. It didn't really go anywhere as far as an article, or it was just basically my thoughts of some of the things that are going on. So it's just a hodgepodge of my thoughts put in words on paper, so to speak. So I'll go ahead and start reading what I got here. An August 20th, 2022, Zero Hedge article points out, quote, that being accepted, the heating fuel shortage, in parentheses, what happens geopolitically, even militarily, when the entire global economy starts to feel the impacts from Western nation economic contraction on a scale created by collective action that has never been seen before. That's what we are in the midst of, and it's just beginning to accelerate. The ultimate crash of both the political, the financial and economic, and the clash of civilizations between, you might say, the Western oligarchs led by the Rothschild City of London versus, and I'm not completely convinced about this part, but versus Russian Vladimir Putin. He's got his oligarchs buddies there, and many of them have escaped to Europe and America and other parts of the world, his enemies. But anyway, let's continue. The article author then claims in the very next sentence to not having a clue what the trigger, what the bigger picture consequence might look like. To me, it's plain as day. Massive genocide around the world resulting in massive, unprecedented depopulation die-off by the elite's ungodly design. That's, to me, what it's looking like. This dystopian nightmare has been countlessly spelled out by countless observers that see the inevitable, diabolically orchestrated and choreographed, quote, writing on the wall. The Earth Controller's current engineered and long-planned planetary catastrophe has in fact never been clearer. Depopulation by injecting billions with bioweapon poisons, wreaking havoc with massive staffing shortages worldwide, and millions, if not billions, dying and permanently disabled, collapsing the global economy, killing off the U.S. dollar while deceitfully using climate change and green agenda as the driving flimsy excuse to willfully and intentionally cause unprecedented mass starvation, simultaneously targeting northern latitude populations in North America and Europe to freeze to death this winter. And here we are at the end of August, so we got maybe, what, 3 more months to go before the cold weather hits the northern hemisphere. Fronted by Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum and Build Back Better for them, in parentheses, reset, the ruling elite consisting of the usual bloodline suspects, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, and European royal families behind ownership of world's top investment firms, BlackRock and Vanguard, own and control the major shares of in all the Earth's top multinational corporations, all government puppets through World Economic Forum's Subversive Young Leaders Program, along with bribery and sexual blackmail, of course, all the major mass media outlets and tech giants, all the military-industrial war makers, and Big Pharma. Through the elites, centralized, consolidated power, a literal handful of psychopathic bloodlines are intent on murdering at least 7 out of near 8 billion people in a colossal, never-before-seen mass die-off of the Homo sapiens species on planet Earth, all in the name of Build Back Better for them. However, their overly ambitious, purely evil, maniacal scheme to replace an extinct human race with graphene nanoparticle self-assembling filled part machine DNA altered transhuman hybrid of AI hive mind controlled digitalized robots is not quite progressing as planned. despite use of 24/7 propaganda lies to keep the majority of human masses trapped in the dark, fully deceived, constantly fearful, and easily controlled, the damaging evidential truth of their crimes is still managing to reach a growing minority within the human population that are seeing through humanity's wicked enemy agenda. The people's collective pushback through noncompliance and increasing resistance has impeded the mass killers' progress. Fact. Those who have received the first one or two kill shots are generally not returning for their boosters because they've come to realize the overwhelming, irrefutable evidence of so much death and destruction in process. In large part, that is why the genocidal murderers have so drastically decreased the global food and energy supply to cause mass famine and death. The earlier cited Zero Hedges piece's final paragraph opens with, quote, political leadership in the aforementioned Western nations are seemingly, perhaps intentionally, keeping people distracted with domestic shiny things to occupy time. Might the above, quote, domestic shiny things, unquote, be the weaponized IRS army, the unprecedented Mar-a-Lago raid, or be Anne Hesh's shiny blue Mini Cooper August 5th crash in L.A., where 9 years earlier, journalist Michael Hastings' fatal crash also drew the same high probability speculation of murder by remote control hacking of their vehicle's computer system to murderously accelerate their speed just prior to hitting an immovable house and tree, respectively? And might the crime cabal motive also be the same to silence truth tellers from telling damaging truth? Between, quote, suicide and death by remote hacking and death by doorknob hanging, assassinating targeted victims who pose a deep state threat, knowing too much is sadly so commonplace today because it's virtually untraceable and undetectable, particularly when aided and abetted by a complicit media. Governments regularly get away with murder, deploying assassination squads around the globe, leaving their mafia trademark signature with impunity. Now, with such big business involved in the cybersecurity crime world, malevolent hacking enjoys unlimited application, as even hacked weaponized smartphones can be potentially lethal, I understand. For well over a dozen years, hacked smartphones pose a serious military threat as well as national security threat, as cyber warfare has taken on a life of its own in this post-apocalyptic world, not to mention the vulnerability of hackable military and commercial aircraft, military and cargo vessels, trains, cars, power grids, corporate and banking security infrastructure. The takedown disaster game is wide open for the picking by today's destructive globalist mega operation as one big criminal operation, since prominent G20 nations are conspiratorial puppets, even more ruthless and brutal than conventional organized crime organizations, having long been melded seamlessly together into one and the same entity. Lawlessness and total lack of ethics and morality now fully rule the day. With computer chips installed in virtually every apparatus nowadays, unlimited electromagnetic threats extend from individual human targeting through digital devices to international through directed energy weapons and geoengineering, and engaging in weather warfare, robust cyber warfare, largely controlled by Israeli backdoor technologies, and full range of both conventional as well as this new hybrid warfare in global scope. And with the world producing leader in microchips, the highly disputed little island nation of Taiwan, the next world war may be fought over it as the Eastern Front, with Ukraine the ongoing incendiary battleground of World War III's Western Front. Humanity has never been closer to nuclear annihilation than this moment in time, at least in our rather limited recorded history. Intergalactic civilizations involving ETs and humanoids have definitely blown themselves up before, but then that's part of the near infinite history conveniently omitted from our very scant 5,000 to 6,000 years so-called known and recorded written history. Yet we are learning that what we have traditionally been taught as our human history is nothing less than a pack of obscene lies of omission and selective deception. The massive civilization and vast empire of Tartaria, also known as Tartary, extending from the Middle Ages to the 19th century, had as its western border the Caucasus, steppe, Caspian Sea region, to Russia's Volga eastward through all the Stans nations of Central Asia, stretching northwestward all the way to Siberia, Mongolia, Tibet, to China's Manchuria on the Pacific. But it was deliberately omitted from all Western history books written by imperialistic European historians from the 18th century forward. Yet, as late as the Encyclopedia Britannica of 1771, evidence of Tartaria was included. But it was suddenly swiped from our history. Why? Moreover, many documents and maps confirmed Tartaria was not only a real country, but advanced architecturally as well as culturally. Yet it's purposely has been purged from our public education and knowledge. Putin in 2017 declassified numerous archives in support of this long lost forgotten history. Those are my meandering thoughts for the week. And now I'm going to jump into some of the news developments we've seen in recent days. Highly respected Lancet Medical Journal has recently released a study admitting that the COVID-19 vaccines weaken and compromise the immune system. In late June 2022, the New England Journal of Medicine came out with a study showing that the vaccines increase the risk of infection. So the trend is even the top medical journals of our times are finally beginning to expose the scientific truth that the non-vaccines are genocidal killers. Three cases in California challenging Governor Newsom's lockdown orders ruled in favor of churches staying open. Targeted companies can sue government for damages for forced closure, and companies vocally against lockdown that were targeted can also sue for damages against the state government, Newsom's little Gestapo land government. Fauci announced his December retirement from government services since 1984 after near four decades of working to kill us, starting with AIDS from the 80s all the way through to the present day non-vaccine genocide. But it won't get him off just being in retirement from the forces of retribution that are coming after him for his decades of criminal activity, with Senator Rand Paul leading the charge, promising to hold him accountable, retired or not retired. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has also jumped in, calling for a Fauci investigation while even in retirement. Health Ranger Mike Adams just came out yesterday with an important article entitled "Trump Trap Sprung," "Media Flips Set Stage to Blame Trump for Widespread Vaccine Injuries and Deaths," unquote. As predicted, all the guilty parties from the media to Democrats to Fauci and CDC, Big Pharma, all will be jumping on the familiar blame Trump bandwagon for his warp speed vaccine rollout that overlooked all the usual rigorous safety protocols, rendering the bioweapons both unsafe and ineffective, as well as extremely deadly. Speaking of Trump, so anyway, let me just comment. This guy deserves it. As far as I can tell, he was right with it from the get-go, playing right along with the globalists to do this whole big pandemic, play right along with Fauci and Burks and all the rest of the liars. And his warp speed is killing people. Starting in December 2020, it started killing people. So, and then he bragged about it, what, six, eight, nine, a year later? He's still bragging about it. That he is so proud because so many people were saved. What bullshit. The guy's a liar and he knows the truth. But he still lied. So, anyway, you can tell I'm not a Trump believer. I never really was. I always knew the Rothschild bailed him out of bankruptcy four or five times. His mentor was Roy Cohn, who's a pedophile and ran pedophile rings on the East Coast during the 50s and 60s. And he was a big buddy of you-know-who, the most infamous pedophile in America, Jeffrey Epstein, ran with him. Probably raped little girls with them. And I've written and talked about that as well. So, yeah, he might have done a few good things and he talked a good hat, you know, about draining the swamp and all that crap. Well, the swamp's a lot bigger than him, so he didn't get very far, did he? And he caved in. Israel owned him. You know, Adelson, his biggest financial backer, owned him, who was like a dual Israeli citizen. So, yeah, I can't get on the Trump bandwagon. I'm sorry. And when they say, oh, yeah, our true president's coming back. How many times have they said that, you know? Like they've been saying it for 2.5 years now. So I'm just sick of that whole thing. And he, yes, he needs to be held accountable, right with Fauci and all the rest of the criminals. They all deserve to go down. If you commit crimes, yeah, you're no better than anybody else. And you need to pay if you commit crimes. And he did a big one. So, yeah, I have no sympathy for him. When they come after him, you know, I don't have any sympathy. If he listened to the truth and acted on the truth, he wouldn't be in this situation, would he? So I've heard enough from those hopium addicts and those hopium pushers. Trump's coming back, our true president. Shut up. All right, next. Speaking of Trump, regarding the August 8th FBI raid on his Florida home, Trump recently filed a lawsuit suing the Department of Justice and the FBI for violating Fourth Amendment search and seizure law. This I agree with. I mean, he had his constitutional right of, you know, guaranteed, supposedly, by the Fourth Amendment. It was not honored in the course of that raid. So I'll give him that. So, yeah, okay, take him to court. But he will likely include the White House as well, the Biden regime, imposter White House, that is, since the imposter regime White House is, quote, at the ignition point of this investigation, unquote, according to journalist John Solomon. Of course, as always, Biden and company have lied through their teeth in total denial that they had anything to do with the Mar-a-Lago raid, which we know is absolutely false lies, but that's all that comes out of that mouth is false lies. Good for nothing, the worst, most hated president in the history of the United States, and whose sole mission is to destroy the job that Obama started, to destroy from within treason, America, the Republic, once. While Biden hands over to Ukraine another $3 billion of U.S. tax-paid burden in military aid, raising the total to $55 billion, the Ukrainian parliament announces it's giving itself a big fat raise. Isn't that sweet? And the timing, you know? Give me a break. After decimating America's fighting force with a genocidal kill shot, Biden is determined to completely disarm America of virtually all its military weapons over to Ukraine, sending them to the Kiev government so that they can end up on the dark web, the black market. Yep, they're making a lot more money just getting rid of them because they don't even know how to use them. Okay, a few of those HIMARS are getting through, and guess what? Now they're blowing up airfields in Crimea. They're even blowing up targets in Russia, trying to provoke World War III. Yep, okay. Seems Biden is setting the stage for China's military to easily invade America without a United States military and without weapons. Hey, making their job easier to come over here and invade and take control of the United States of America. That seems like it's the plan. They've bought and sold Biden as a pedophile and his son. So they control. Yep, they control. He's sending more killer drones and long-range HIMARS rocket systems. Those are the longer range that can go into Russia for Ukraine to attack both Crimean and Russian soil in a desperate ploy to ignite a nuclear World War III. Biden is simply following Lucifer's orders to destroy this planet, making it inhabitable for humans. For the first time in its operational history, Europe's largest nuclear power plant at the Russian-held Zaporizhia facility that's been continually targeted over the last few months since March when the Russians took it over by attacks by the Ukrainian forces that have completely disconnected that power plant from Ukraine's power grid. due to the fires and ongoing shelling that only jeopardizes another Chernobyl or worse kind of disaster that's going to hit the whole area and then downwind, much larger span of geographical area will be affected. So they pulled the plug now on the grid. So hopefully, despite the Ukrainian forces that are bent on blaming the Russians for this nuclear disaster, killing people as a sure way to get World War III ignited, they pulled the plug, the grid. So hopefully we won't have a huge nuclear disaster on our hands with Zaporizhia. U.S. official national security disinformation propagandist John Kirby, an ex-colonel in the military, on Wednesday declared that Russia is planning to begin announcing, quote, sham referendums in various places inside Ukraine, starting with Kharkov Oblast, announcing how the Ukrainian citizens are wanting to be part of the Russian Federation. He's putting it out there that, you know, we know that Russia, because they aren't willing to do anything with the negotiation peace settlement table, because that's not happening, Russia's going to end up with all of Ukraine. That's what's happening. And so they're trying to put it out that Russia's going to force these scam operations where the Ukrainians vote and say, yeah, we want to be part of Russia. Not just the Donbass, not just Crimea, not just, you know, the southern eastern areas that are mostly comprised of ethnic Russians, but they're also going to say that the Russians twisted the Ukrainian arms to also, let's go with Russia. They're throwing it out there just so they can, like, say, no, it's not legit when Russia basically takes over. Because they are. And boy, are they stepping it up. Okay. Likely in some places where they're not already brainwashed as Nazis hating Russians, that is probably true in the same way that Russia interfered with the 2016 election. U.S. propaganda will never give up its blame the Russian bandwagon as justification for its aggression around the globe. U.S. imperialism must always propagandize its designated enemy, and pretty much ever since the end of World War II, it's been Russia, except for the neocons' fake war on terror, blaming and killing 4 million Middle Eastern Muslims fighting Zionist wars for Israel. Also, once again, mockingbird rags like the New York Times, as of late, are spinning the lies claiming Russia's locked into a war of attrition, whereas the truth is Russia's offensive beyond the Donbass region has slowed a bit in recent weeks to spare the lives of Ukrainian civilians, which is the exact opposite of how the neo-Nazi Ukraine forces have used their own civilians constantly as human shields and have engaged in false flags, murdering their own people to falsely blame Russia. Rather than negotiate for peace, per his master's orders, Zelensky and his desperate Kiev government are doing everything in their power to prolong the conflict by endangering and sacrificing their own Ukrainian citizens, seemingly till the last Ukrainian body is still standing. That's how much Kiev cares about its own citizens. Meanwhile, another Rothschild-controlled international news service, Reuters, is busily quoting the Ukraine spy chief with the bold-faced lies, quote, Ukraine's top military intelligence officials said on Wednesday that Russia's military offensive was slowing because of moral and physical fatigue in their ranks and Moscow's exhausted resource base. That is total bullshit. When Biden's not giving away $55 billion of taxpayer money to the corrupt Kiev regime or all its freebies at taxpayer expense to the almost 5 million invaders pouring in at the southern border, meanwhile, 50% of larger U.S. employers are expecting job cuts within the next 6 to 12 months. According to a recent PwC survey of 722 U.S. executives, as reported by CNBC. And what's left of small businesses, 40% of small business owners can't even pay their August rent in the United States. By diabolical globalist design, the total collapse of the global economy is currently well underway now. Every day there's more bad news. 1 in 6 homes in America are unable to pay their power bills. And with costs skyrocketing as we head into colder months, most Americans will be unable to afford to even heat their homes. That, quote, dark winter that then-presidential candidate Joe Biden promised America in 2020, today is being manifested right before our eyes as Biden the Destroyer takes America down as soon as possible per orders from his elite puppet masters like Schwab, Soros, and the Rothschild City of London banking cartel. Meanwhile, Biden's, quote, open border policy has welcomed 4.9 million illegal aliens flooding into the U.S. during his first year and a half in office alone, almost 5 million in 1.5 years. While struggling Americans are suffering more every single day, unable to even feed their families or heat their homes at the hands of the Biden regime's overreaching communist-owned and controlled dictatorship, at the U.S. taxpayers' burden, the near 5 million illegal invaders are given free transportation to destination points throughout America, set up in free hotels, given free smartphones, free health care and mental health services, free career and educational services, and free legal services. With a deal like that, who wouldn't want to join those 5 million already taking advantage? The Biden clown show treating illegal migrants and the corrupt Ukraine government far more humanely and generously than his own U.S. citizens, constitutes full-blown treason. While millions of poor migrants from south of the border take advantage of all the goodies offered by the U.S. government, because they're being so much better treated than U.S. citizens, a sad, pathetic irony to all this is that millions of American citizens are escaping Gestapo land USA for Mexico because they are finding more freedom and more affordable living costs. South of the border, many Americans are taking flight in a mass exodus out of the United States as it is fast being destroyed. As if to attempt to slow down and seal off this phenomenon, the U.S. State Department just issued a kidnapping advisory to U.S. citizens in Mexico. No doubt, rich gringos from the north for a very long time now have occasionally been preyed upon by criminal gangs south of the border, often by drug cartels, for ransom money. It's a very old story. But the actual threat of that horrific fate befalling U.S. citizens traveling and or living in most places throughout Mexico is reportedly low, as conditions are largely safe. No doubt the U.S. government is exaggerating the danger in order to decrease the rising number of Americans departing the U.S. now in droves. At some point, the border gates to move out of the United States will be closing soon, so no more Americans will even be permitted to leave. In its notice on Wednesday, the U.S. State Department raised alarm, warning, quote, violent crimes such as homicide, kidnapping, carjacking, and robbery is widespread and common in Mexico. So stay where you are, starve to death, and freeze your ass off in the winter. To further this nefarious irony, all by orchestrated design, Biden, the CIA, DEA, all work hand in hand with the major Latin American drug cartels to produce both today's scare notice and the biggest boom ever in human and child sex trafficking within the Americas. After all, trillions in dirty black budget businesses are generated each and every year through organized crime, trafficking drugs, arms, organs, and children. All the largest centralized Rothschild banks thrive through illegal money laundering their profits from organized crime activities, now being severely undercut in the former trafficking hub, Ukraine, fueling enormous pressure by the West to rush to the corrupt Kiev regime's aid while demonizing Putin's Russia to the hilt. Supporting Ukraine amounts to supporting the grisly scourge of pedophilia now gripping our planet. Occasionally, of course, I like to run across articles that are really good that I wish I wrote. And here's one. I have been an admirer of John Whitehood, who's a constitutional attorney, for a long time. And he comes out with some really excellent work on how our constitutional rights have been whittled down to almost nothing now. His latest article, put out this week, is called, quote, "The FBI's Gestapo Tactics, semicolon, Hallmarks of an Authoritarian Regime," by John and Nisha, his wife, Whitehead. Here's a quote, lead it off, from Harry Truman. Quote, "We want no Gestapo or secret police. FBI is tending in that direction." So he saw the writing on the wall when it was still relatively new back in the 40s. With every passing day, the United States government borrows yet another leaf from Nazi Germany's playbook. Secret police, secret courts, secret government agencies, surveillance, censorship, intimidation, harassment, torture, brutality, widespread corruption, entrapment, indoctrination, indefinite detention. These are not tactics used by constitutional republics where the rule of law and the rights of the citizenry reign supreme. Rather, they are the hallmarks of authoritarian regimes where secret police control the populace through intimidation, fear, and official lawlessness on the part of government agents. That authoritarian danger is now posed by the FBI, whose love affair with totalitarianism began long ago. Indeed, according to the New York Times, the U.S. government so admired the Nazi regime that following the Second World War, it secretly and aggressively recruited at least 1,000 Nazis, including some of Hitler's highest henchmen, as part of Operation Paperclip. American taxpayers have been paying to keep these ex-Nazis on the U.S. government's payroll ever since. If the government's covert, taxpayer-funded employment of Nazis after World War II weren't bad enough, U.S. government agencies, the FBI, CIA, and the military adopted many of the Third Reich's well-honed policing tactics and have used them against American citizens. Indeed, the FBI's laundry list of crimes against the American people includes surveillance, disinformation, blackmail, entrapment, intimidation tactics, harassment and indoctrination, governmental overreach, abuse, misconduct, trespassing, enabling criminal activity, and damaging private property. And that's just based on what we know. Compare the FBI's far-reaching powers to surveil, detain, interrogate, investigate, prosecute, punish, police, and generally act as a law unto themselves, powers have grown since 9/11, transforming the FBI into a mammoth federal policing and surveillance agency that largely operates as a power unto itself, beyond the reach of established laws, court rulings, and legislative mandates, to its Nazi counterparts, the Gestapo, and then try to convince yourself that the United States is not a totalitarian police state, which, of course, it is right now. Just like the Gestapo, the FBI has vast resources, vast investigatory powers, and vast discretion to determine who is an enemy of the state. Today, the FBI employs more than 35,000 individuals and operates more than 56 field offices in major cities across the United States, as well as 400 resident agencies in smaller towns and more than 50 international offices. In addition to their, quote, data campus, which houses more than 96 million sets of fingerprints from across the United States and elsewhere, the FBI has also built a vast repository of, quote, profiles of tens of thousands of Americans and legal residents who are not accused of any crime. What they have done is appear to be acting suspiciously to a town sheriff, a traffic cop, or even a neighbor. The FBI's burgeoning databases on Americans are not only being added to and used by local police agencies, but also being made available to employers for real-time background checks. All of this is made possible by the agency's nearly unlimited resources. President Biden's budget projections allocate $10.8 billion for the FBI. The government's vast arsenal of technology, the interconnectedness of government intelligence agencies, and information sharing through fusion centers, data collecting intelligence agencies spread throughout the country that constantly monitor communications, including those of American citizens, everything from internet activity and web searches to text messages, phone calls, and emails. Much like the Gestapo spied on mail and phone calls, the FBI agents have carte blanche access to the citizenry's most personal information. Working through the U.S. Post Office, the FBI has access to every piece of mail that passes through the postal system. More than 160 billion pieces are scanned and recorded annually. Moreover, the agency's national security letters, one of many illicit powers authorized by the USA Patriot Act, allows the FBI to secretly demand that banks, phone companies and other businesses provide them with customer information and not disclose those demands to the customer. An internal audit of the agency found that the FBI practice of issuing tens of thousands of NSLs every year for sensitive information such as a phone and financial record, often in non-emergency cases, is riddled with widespread constitutional violations. Much like the Gestapo's sophisticated surveillance programs, the FBI's spying capabilities can delve into Americans' most intimate details and allow local police to do so as well. In addition to technology, which is shared with police agencies, that allows them to listen in on phone calls, read emails and text messages, and monitor web activities, the FBI's surveillance boasts an invasive collection of spy tools ranging from stingray devices that can track the location of cell phones to triggerfish devices, which allow agents to eavesdrop on phone calls. In one case, the FBI actually managed to remotely reprogram a, quote, suspect's wireless internet card so that it would send, quote, real-time cell site location data to Verizon, which forwarded the data to the FBI. Law enforcement agencies are using social media tracking software to monitor Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram posts. Moreover, secret FBI rules also allow agents to spy on journalists without significant judicial oversight. Much like the Gestapo's ability to profile based on race and religion and its assumption of guilt by association, the FBI's approach to pre-crime allows it to profile Americans based on a broad range of characteristics, including race and religion. The agency's biometric database has grown to massive proportions, the largest in the world, encompassing everything from fingerprints, palm, face, and iris scans to DNA, and is being increasingly shared between federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies in an effort to target potential criminals long before they ever commit a crime. This is what's grown and known as pre-crime. It's not just your actions that will get you in trouble. In many cases, it's also who you know, even minimally, and where your sympathies lie that could land you on a government watch list. Moreover, as The Intercept reports, despite anti-profiling prohibitions, the Bureau, quote, claims considerable latitude to use race, ethnicity, nationality, and religion in deciding which people and communities to investigate. Much like the Gestapo's power to render anyone as enemy of the state, the FBI has the power to label anyone a domestic terrorist. As part of the government's so-called ongoing war on terror, the nation's de facto secret police force has begun using the terms anti-government, extremists, and terrorists interchangeably. Moreover, the government continues to add to its growing list of characteristics that can be used to identify an individual, especially anyone who disagrees with the government, as a potential domestic terrorist. For instance, you might be a domestic terrorist in the eyes of the FBI and this network of snitches if you express libertarian philosophies, statements, bumper stickers, exhibit Second Amendment-oriented views, NRA or gun club membership, read survivalist literature, including apocalyptic fictional books, show signs of self-sufficiency, stockpiling food, ammo, hard tools, medical supplies, fear an economic collapse, buy gold and barter items, subscribe to religious views concerning the Book of Revelation, voice fears about Big Brother or big government, expound about constitutional rights and civil liberties, believe in a new world order conspiracy. It ain't conspiracy, folks. Much like the Gestapo infiltrated communities in order to spy on the German citizenry, the FBI routinely infiltrates political and religious groups, as well as businesses. Talk to any Black Panther. J. Edgar Hoover was on it with his COINTELPRO infiltration program, assassinating Panther members. Much like the, okay, as Cora Currier writes for The Intercept, quote, using loopholes it is kept secret for years, the FBI can, in certain circumstances, bypass its own rules in order to send undercover agents or informants into political and religious organizations, as well as schools, clubs, and businesses, unquote. The FBI has even been paying Geek Squad technicians at Best Buy to spy on customers' computers without a warrant. Just as the Gestapo united and militarized Germany's police forces into a national police force, America's police forces have largely been federalized and turned into a national police force. In addition to government programs that provide the nation's police forces with military equipment and training, the FBI also operates a national academy that trains thousands of police chiefs every year and indoctrinates them into an agency mindset that advocates the use of surveillance technology and information sharing between local, state, federal, and international agencies. Just as the Gestapo's secret files on political leaders were used to intimidate and coerce, the FBI's files on anyone suspected of, quote, anti-government sentiment have been similarly abused. As countless documents make clear, the FBI has no qualms about using its extensive powers in order to blackmail politicians, spy on celebrities, and high-ranking government officials, and intimidate and attempt to discredit dissidents of all stripes. For example, not only did the FBI follow Martin Luther King Jr. and bug his phones in hotel rooms, but agents also sent him anonymous letters urging him to commit suicide and pressured a Massachusetts college into dropping King as its commencement speaker. Well, there's the hour break cue, our music, so I'll see you on the other side.
Junkie, I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Number one listener supported radio, the printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on public means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in Defense Condition 1. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal Lotus O deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome to hour number two of Cabal Empire Exposed with your host, Joaquin Hagopian. I've been reading from another John Whitehead, attorney of the constitutional law, about our diminishing rights and how Gestapo, FBI, and law enforcement in general is now a police state stripping away and surveilling and intruding, invading, violating in every aspect of the word our sovereignty and our constitution. So I'm going to continue. I'm almost done. I got about another page left here. Okay. Just as you notice how he's like comparing with Nazi Germany Gestapo, and they're doing all the same things that the current police state's doing. You know, it's very, very effective. There's no difference. We are living with Nazis. That is for certain. Just as the Gestapo carried out entrapment operations, the FBI has become a master in the art of entrapment. In the wake of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, the FBI has not only targeted vulnerable individuals, but also has lured them or blackmailed them into fake terror plots while actually equipping them with the organization, money, weapons, and motivation to carry out the plots, entrapment, and then jailing or deporting them for their so-called terrorist plotting. Basically, he just listed the anatomy of all the terrorism that's state-sponsored in America. The mass shootings, all of them. They always hone in on a patsy to blame, and the handlers, which are FBI, CIA, etc., the government agents, pretty much run the show. They run the operation, and sometimes, yes, real Americans, real people do die. And sometimes it's all fake, including the fatalities. This is what the FBI characterizes as forward-leaning preventative prosecutions. In addition to creating certain crimes in order to then solve them, the FBI also gives certain informants permission to break the law, quote, including everything from buying and selling illegal drugs to bribing government officials and plotting robberies, in exchange for their cooperation on other fronts. USA Today estimates that FBI agents have authorized criminals to engage in as many as 15 crimes a day. Some of these informants are getting paid astronomical sums. One particular unsavory fellow, later arrested for attempting to run over a police officer, was actually paid $85,000 for his help laying the trap for an entrapment scheme. When and if a true history of the FBI is ever written, it will not only track the rise of the American police state, but it will also chart the decline of freedom in America, in much the same way that the empowerment of Germany's secret police tracked the rise of the Nazi regime. How did the Gestapo become the terror of the Third Reich? It did so by creating a sophisticated surveillance and law enforcement system that relied for its success on the cooperation of the military, the police, the intelligence community, neighborhood watchdogs, government workers for the post office and railroads, and ordinary civil servants, and a nation of snitches inclined to report, quote, rumors, deviant behavior, or even just loose talk. In other words, ordinary citizens working with government agents helped create the monster that became Nazi Germany. Writing for the New York Times, Barry Ewen paints a particularly chilling portrait of how an entire nation becomes complicit in its own downfall by looking the other way. In what may be his most provocative statement, author Eric A. Johnson says that, quote, most Germans may not even have realized until very late in the war, if ever, that they were living in a vile dictatorship. This is not to say that they were unaware of the Holocaust. Johnson demonstrates that millions of Germans must have known at least some of the truth. But he concludes, a tacit Faustian bargain was struck between the regime and the citizenry, unquote. The government looked the other way when petty crimes were being committed. Ordinary Germans looked the other way when Jews were being rounded up and murdered. They abetted one of the greatest crimes of the 20th century, not through active collaboration, but through passivity, denial, and indifference. Much like the German people, we, the people, have become passive, polarized, gullible, easily manipulated, and lacking in critical thinking skills. Distracted by entertainment spectacles, politics, and screen devices, we too are complicit, silent partners in creating a police state similar to the terror practiced by former regimes. Had the government tried to ram such a state of affairs down our throats suddenly, it might have had a rebellion on its hands. Instead, the American people have been given the boiling frog treatment, immersed in water that slowly is heated up, degree by degree, so that they fail to notice that they're being trapped and cooked and killed. Yep, we the people are in hot water right now. The Constitution doesn't stand a chance against a federalized, globalized, standing army of government henchmen protected by legislative, judicial, and executive branches that are still on the same side, no matter what political views that they subscribe to. Suffice it to say, they are not on our side or the side of freedom or the Constitution. From Presidents Clinton to Bush, then Obama to Trump, and now Biden, it's as if we've been caught in a time loop, forced to relive the same thing over and over again, the same assaults on our freedoms, the same disregard for the rule of law, the same subservience to the deep state, and the same corrupt, self-serving government that exists only to amass power, enrich its shareholders, and ensure its continued domination. Can the Fourth Reich happen here? As I point out in my book, Battlefield America, The War on the American People, and in its fictional counterpart, the Eric Blair Diaries, it's already happening right under our noses. Wake up, people. We are in a police state, a Nazi-driven police state, out to kill us. The disturbing story out of Moscow this week is the car bomb assassination of 29-year-old Russian journalist Darya Dugina, daughter of Russian nationalist, philosopher, and geopolitical strategist Alexander Dugin. Western media often has called the 60-year-old Dugin, quote, Putin's brain and a close Putin ally. Yet no evidence or photograph proving they've ever met has surfaced, much less indicate Dugin ever influenced Moscow's foreign policy with no direct Kremlin ties. Yet both father and daughter are clearly pro-Russian nationalists. The near constant Western aggression and provocation against Russia as its designated enemy for the better part of a century now, would preclude any reasonable Russian who loves his or her homeland to take a pro-Russian stance in defense of their own nation. As such, both Putin and Dugin for years have criticized the degenerate West controlled by Luciferian parasitical globalists bent on subversive worldwide tyranny. And this may be why Dugin might be in the assassination squad's crosshairs. For someone who's been called Putin's brain, Dugin has also at various times been fiercely critical of the Russian leader. When the Donbas chose to become a breakaway republic in 2014, Dugin wanted military intervention, as in Crimea. When Putin chose to go with the Minsk Agreement, accepting Ukraine's broken concession not to launch a military offensive into the Donbas, yet still did, Dugin was enraged by Putin's non-intervention approach. Prior to Putin's February special military operation, again, Dugin was even calling for regime change. E. Michael Jones has written a provocative article dated August 22nd in the UNZ Review, UNZ Review, strongly suggesting that Dugin's public criticism of the Zionist Jews is what most likely sealed his and his daughter's fate. Jones mentions how he raised the inevitable elephant in the room taboo, criticizing Jews responsible for much of the world's calamity, citing his and former CIA agent Philip Giraldi's common experience at a conference in Iran in 2017, when Jones publicly implicated Zionist Jewish subversion. At that same conference, E. Michael Jones was approached by that day's keynote speaker, Alexander Dugin, who had expounded on the coming multipolar world emerging from the ashes of America's fall from world power. Dugin also thanked Jones for breaking the Jewish taboo. The UNS piece states that Alexander Dugin broke the same taboo in an article he wrote in June earlier this year, blasting the How Jewish Hegemony First Emerged Its Full Dominance Takeover of American Culture with the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, legalizing abortion in all 50 states. In the Dugin article, before the 1973 Supreme Court liberals stand on abortion, American culture was rooted in pragmatism, evaluating on the sole basis of whether something was feasible or not, with America's individualism and freedom as its underpinning gird. But in 1973, America underwent a major sea change of invested infiltration of an anything-goes liberalism. An English translation of the Dugin article asserts, quote, "But in the American elite, which is made up of people from a wide variety of backgrounds, at some point, a critically large number of non-Americans have accumulated. They are predominantly Europeans, often from Russia. Many are ethnically Jewish, but imbued with European or Russian Soviet principles and cultural codes. They brought a different culture and philosophy to the United States. They did not understand or accept American pragmatism at all, seeing it as only a backdrop for their own advancement. That is, they took advantage of American opportunities, but did not intend to adopt a libertarian logic unrelated to any hint of totalitarianism. In reality, it was these alien elites who hijacked the old American democracy. It was they who took the helm of globalist structures and gradually seized power in the United States." Thus, Alexander Dugin recently unloaded his contention that the wave of affluent, powerful Jews increasingly arriving after the 1970s from Russia and Europe have hijacked the United States both culturally as well as politically. According to American author Professor Kevin MacDonald, in a June 29th article for United Kingdom's The Occidental Observer, critically relevant is that Dugin notes parallels of the new elite with Bolshevik attitudes of authoritarian control, including, quote, destruction of those seen as having the wrong attitudes. Quote, if you are not a progressive, you are a Nazi and must be destroyed. Unquote. More from Dugin's article applauding the recent U.S. Supreme Court decision as a turning point for the return of resurging conservative Christian values, rejecting the rigidly radical Bolshevik left's globalism. Quote, this is Dugin's words, "And the almost desperate old Americans, pragmatists and libertarians, rejoice at overturning Roe versus Wade, the freedom to do what you want, not what the progressives and technocrats say, to go in any direction, not just where the globalists are forcibly sending us, has triumphed again. It is a pragmatic revolution, an American-style conservative revolution. Of course, all the globalist progressive crap is about to go down the drain. The old America has, in a way, counterattacked the new America, the Gestapo totalitarian America. Dugin also responded favorably to Trump populism, calling him a welcome sensation, quote, even remarking how a recent Trump speech could have just as easily been written by Dugin himself. Short of calling Putin and Dugin saints, or even declaring them good guys fighting the enemy on the world chessboard stage, nonetheless, Dugin and Putin stand in a stark contrast to the known genocidal killers, the Rothschild, Rockefeller, European royal bloodlines, and their puppet minions from the West. It appears self-evident these two pro-Russian nationalists are hardly the enemy of humanity that the elite has proven a million times over to be. Alexander Dugin first established himself as an intellectual and political philosopher with his book Foundations of Geopolitics, semicolon, The Geopolitical Future of Russia, published in 1997 at the tail end of Boris Yeltsin's presidency, the one where the Western oligarchs moved in and corruption took over, and they stole all the natural resources of Russia from its people. Just prior to Putin's ascendancy, 2 years later, in 1999. Dugin's treatise is often cited, as a recent Newsweek article alludes, as, quote, the cornerstone of Putin's expansionist foreign policy, with Dugin a, quote, key architect of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. As a result, according to CNN, both Dugin and Dugina, his daughter, have been sanctioned by the United States and the United Kingdom for acting to destabilize Ukraine. Back in 2015, when Alexander Dugin was sanctioned the first time by the United States, he rightfully asserted that sanctions were being imposed on him, quote, for intellectual activity that breaks no laws, unquote. The West never fails to portray Putin, and for that matter Dugin, as maniacal expansionists determined to reclaim their version of the Soviet Empire. And Putin's Ukraine intervention was condescendingly spurred on and instigated by none other than Dugin as Putin's brain, intent on conquering Ukraine to make it part of an emerging Russian Empire. Early on in March and April, had Ukraine been willing to negotiate peace with Russia, Ukraine, minus Crimea and Donbass, would have remained intact. But puppet Zelensky ordered to fight till the last Ukrainian falls, and it sealed his nation's fate, which will not end well for either him or Ukraine. The false notion of Putin the imperialist is simply the flimsy, worn-out excuse that the West and globalists always use to justify NATO's outlived existence and vilify Putin as the madman aggressor, when in fact the only true aggressor has always been the hegemonic U.S. and its Western vassals, desperately attempting in vain to hold on to their fast-crumbling house of cards, unipolar world. In March 2022, the U.S. Treasury was all slings and arrows. Quote, Dugin controls Geopolitica, a website that serves as a platform for Russian ultranationalists to spread disinformation and propaganda targeting Western and other audiences. Leave it to the U.S. government to still run by Jewish Zionist neocons, always accusing its enemy up to no good, when in fact it's always the U.S. that's the lawless guilty party, i.e., the U.S. is always notoriously spreading disinformation and propaganda, especially against Russia. Right after the 2014 chief coup instigator, Victoria Nuland, was caught in March this year admitting the U.S. had biolabs in Ukraine, she twisted it all around to blame the Russians for imminently about to use the bioweapons against America. It's the chronic defensive deception maneuver to justify any and all of its offensive crimes. Their M.O. After an 8-year ethnic purge resulting directly from Nuland's U.S. illegal February 2014 regime change in Kiev, because the democratically elected Ukraine president Viktor Yanukovych chose not to align with the West but remain a Russian ally, over 14,000 ethnic Russian civilians have subsequently been murdered, living in the Donbas breakaway republics of Donetsk and Lugansk prior to Russia's February 24, 2022 incursion, i.e., ethnic purge of ethnic Russians living in the breakaway provinces of Donetsk and Lugansk. The intended U.S.-NATO planned Donbas invasion that Putin successfully circumvented and neutralized, in all probability saved tens of thousands more lives as Kiev was poised to unleash a genome-related pathogen genetically targeting ethnic Russians in Donbas and potentially even in Russia, originating from dozens of U.S. Department of Defense funded bioweapon labs located throughout Ukraine. For decades, it's the U.S. and NATO that have been tirelessly bent on destroying the Russian Federation and world by turning former Soviet Eastern Bloc countries into hostile anti-Russian NATO members. To illustrate, Romania and Poland both possessed U.S. nuclear missile silos installed and aimed directly at Moscow. The agenda behind the 2014 neo-Nazi Maidan overthrow ultimately entertained designs to make Ukraine yet another nuclear-armed NATO enemy on Russia's doorstep. To counter the U.S. and West expanding NATO and EU encirclement of Russia, in May, Dugin wrote, quote, Ukraine can become an integral organic part of this. Ukrainians must understand that we are inviting them to create this new great power, as well as Belarusians, Kazakhs, Armenians, but also Azerbaijanis and Georgians, and all those who not only were and are with us, but also will be. In the ensuing months, the vast majority of countries has clearly sided with Russia, particularly the Global South nations, refusing to join the West's suicidal failed sanctions. In fact, a just-released anti-Russian statement in the United Nations was only signed by 54 out of 193 UN members, demonstrating that more than 2 out of 3 nations in this world refuse to condemn Russia for its Ukraine actions. Plus, the Eurasian Economic Union, the BRICS Alliance, and Shanghai Cooperation Organization have all attracted multiple requests for new membership from many countries. It's the dying West that is suffering as the Russian currency is this year's strongest valued currency, while the U.S. dollar is no longer nearly being accepted as the international reserve trade currency. Now the ruble and Chinese yuan, backed by gold, are generating trading partners fast leaving the U.S. and West in history's dustbin of free-falling civilizational decline, embracing an emerging multipolar world at long last. Putin, Dugin, and posthumously Dugina, his daughter, simply wish to avoid that ultimate catastrophe of war against the West by protecting Russia's own national security interests. Clearly, over three decades now, the true destabilizer has always been the West, led by the Rothschild City of London banking cartel. One can never blame Russians for simply wanting to protect their own national security. But these basic facts always seem to escape the Western propaganda lies and narratives that invariably subvert the truth in order to promote yet more, quote, divide and rule conflict and destabilization. That's the name of the game that the Luciferian elite has effectively deployed for millennia to increase and retain its ruthless power and ungodly control over the human race. Russian war correspondent Darya Dugina is featured in a video this year at a series of bombed-out locations in the Donetsk Republic. One was amidst the rubble of a Ukraine-shelled school, where, in English, she addresses some of the building's history. Darya states that the structure during the Second World War was used to resist the Nazis, and how now the school was attacked by Ukrainian neo-Nazis supported by the globalist-backed Western forces on a class of civilizations mission to kill and purge ethnic Russians in the Donbas region. Last Saturday, Darya and her father attended the Patriotic Literature and Music Tradition Festival just outside of Moscow by about 50 miles. As they departed afterwards, Alexander Dugin listened intently to his daughter's final emotional words spoken to him. Quote, "Father, I feel like a warrior. I feel like a hero. I want to be one. I do not want any different fate. I want to be with my people, with my country. I want to be on the side of the forces of light. That's the most important thing." Unquote. And within that hour, she was gone. Darya has died a martyr, inspiring the Russian military and people to fight on to victory against all adversaries. Zelensky canceled celebrations of Ukraine's independence last Wednesday in fear of fierce Russian reprisal. On a related side note, in anticipation of Russian payback, the U.S. government has also ordered every American out of Ukraine. Putin is now finally about to take his war gloves off and launch the Russian blitzkrieg, wiping out pretty much all of Ukraine's infrastructure. With unlimited air power and large force groupings attacking from the north, the south, and the center, Zelensky and his puppet masters have set the stage for Ukraine's ultimate sacrifice, showing how little they care about their own people in Ukraine. And just the other day, Putin was saying, yep, just like the Russians have stopped Napoleon back in the early 19th century, they stopped the Germans in Russia again during World War II. And he said, they will become victorious over the Ukrainians this winter. It's going to be over in a few months, folks. Returning to the terrorism at Moscow's gates of last Saturday night, when Daria Dugina's life tragically ended, she and her father are important role models as guardian preservers of their sovereign Russian homeland, opposing the dark forces of globalism out to destroy their sovereign homeland. They share a kinship with patriots in America and anti-globalist activists for human rights the world over, who value liberty, freedom, and sovereignty versus the evil of centralized tyrannical enslavement. Our fight against our common totalitarian enemy, ushering in its dystopian New World Order of digitalized social credit scores, prison planet imprisonment, and genocidal death, must be defeated if indeed the human race is to survive. Daria Dugina's assassination is believed to have been intended to kill her father, or both, but Dugin reportedly decided at the last minute to drive home in another vehicle. Daria apparently drove her father's Land Cruiser Prado SUV with an alleged planted bomb attached underneath, below the driver's seat, while parked in the festival parking lot that did not have security cameras. Dugin was already on a target list of Mirot Voretz, and that's the Center for Research of Signs of Crimes Against the National Security of Ukraine, that works closely with NATO investigating, quote, pro-Russian terrorists and separatists. Well, Daria was not a terrorist, but Ukraine, they are terrorists for murdering her. Within 2 days after her death, the Russian security services posted the ID of a Ukrainian woman, identifying her as a Ukrainian Secret Service operative, Natalia Vovik. V-O-V-K. Arriving in Russia with her daughter, Sofia Shaban, who was born in 2010, which makes her 11 or 12 years old, Vovik reportedly drove a blue Mini Cooper, sounds familiar, like Anne Hesh's car that was hacked and driven straight at 100 miles an hour into a home on the west side of Los Angeles on August 5th. She drove, anyway, this Ukrainian secret agent committing murderous espionage in Russia, drove her Mini Cooper to enter Russia on July 23rd, 2022, about a little less than a month prior to the assassination, and then rented an apartment in the same building where Daria lived. So for nearly a month, this Ukrainian secret security services agent had the daughter of Alexander Dugin under close surveillance for almost a month before the event where she was murdered. Right after Daria's car exploded last Saturday night, Vavek and her daughter immediately departed Russia in their blue Mini Cooper to escape Estonia, to Estonia. So she got out of Russia very quickly into the safe zone, Estonia, that has been totally hostile and warlike against Russia, that little puny country, Estonia. By August 22nd, a Pravda article stated that the Telegram channel posted the claim that Natalia Vavek is, quote, a fighter of the Azov Battalion, which in Russia is regarded as a terrorist neo-Nazi organization. This information comes right after the Russian security services, the FSB, announced that the murder was solved with the suspect already identified. Of course, Ukraine vehemently denies all of these allegations, accusing Russian security services of internally committing the killing in order to blame Ukraine, of course. Suspicion based on the timing has already been raised over Russia within 2 days, coming up with a ready-made identified assassin by name, bringing along her preteen daughter, shedding a question of doubt on these initial Russian claims. About that same time, Sputnik was also tracking down Natalia Vavek's father, living in Ukraine, for an interview. And he volunteered that Natalia Vavek, not long ago, was an alleged refugee in France, but after a short stay, opted to return home to Ukraine. That's rather odd. President Vladimir Putin had this to say about the death of Daria Dugina. Quote, a vile, cruel crime cut short the life of Daria Dugina, a bright, talented person with a real Russian heart, a kind, loving, sympathetic, and open one. A journalist, scientist, philosopher, war correspondent, she honestly served people, the fatherland. She proved by deed what it means to be a patriot Russian. Unquote. When Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov was asked about the killing, he stated, I consider it a barbaric crime for which no forgiveness can be granted. Certainly, the organizers, the middlemen, and the executors can get no mercy. Okay, that's what I got for the major news stories of the week. But I would like to read another very interesting article. And I've read from this guy before, because I find his stuff very illuminating. And it comes from He calls himself Clandestine's Newsletter. That's C-L-A-N, Clandestine, D-E-S-T-I-N-E, apostrophe S, Newsletter. And he's got an article, I think it came out yesterday, and it's entitled International Military Tribunals to be Held in Mariupol, Ukraine. Soon to be Russia, by the way. It's in Russian hands, and I don't think Ukraine's going to get it back. That's the southwestern seaport, Mariupol. That's also where Joe Biden had his compound, about maybe 15 miles outside of Mariupol, where it was found, the military special ops found lots of cash, lots of heroin drugs, and shackles for child sex trafficking underground, under the compound. And this is back in January of 2021, just prior to Biden taking his imposter oath in office. Anyway, yeah, and that's also where the Azov steel plant complex was, where they burrowed the Ukrainian Azov battalion, the Nazis burrowed themselves deep into layers and layers in the underground underneath the steel plant, and they were under siege by the Russian forces, finally giving up, and that was a couple months ago, I'd say. Maybe 3 months ago. Anyway, so Mariupol is a very busy city. It's also, and I've written about this, a major port for child sex trafficking. I mean, you know, Biden's sex trafficking compound and the underground tunnels are right there. And so is the seaport, where they're coming in off the cargo ships. You know, those big evergreen containers full of kids. That's how they get around on the open seas. Anyway, this is an article in the Clandestine's Newsletter. Again, entitled, International Military Tribunals to be Held in Mariupol, Ukraine. Holy shit, international military tribunals are going to be held in the coming days in Mariupol, Ukraine? The Russian embassy in the U.S. put out a statement at 10:47 p.m. this evening, that was I think yesterday or the day before, pertaining to the U.S. State Department's response to upcoming tribunal in Mariupol. Comment by the Russian embassy in the United States on the State Department's statement on the upcoming tribunal in Mariupol. We have taken note of another groundless accusation against our country related to the tribunal over Ukrainian war criminals. The upcoming trial is aimed at bringing justice to war criminals, among which there are Nazis from the Azov Regiment. Washington is clearly afraid of making public the evidence of the inhumane acts committed by the members of this terrorist organization. The International Tribunal in Mariupol can shed light on the true essence of the Kiev regime, of which the United States diligently creates a bright and heroic image. American citizens will finally learn that in reality, their government is helping those who purposefully kill and torture the Russian people of Donbas and Ukraine. Russia fully complies with the Geneva Conventions and guarantees Ukrainian captives proper conditions of detention. The same cannot be said of the Kiev regime, which militants mistreated captured Russian soldiers, like shooting them in the kneecaps, torturing them, and assassinating them. On film, even. Finally, if the U.S. authorities have questions about what happened in Mariupol, they could discuss it with the administration of Donetsk People's Republic. It is an independent state, recognized on February 23rd, 2022, by Vladimir Putin, the day before his incursion, in request of the Donetsk Republic's request for help, because they were launching an invasion where the ethnic purge would have skyrocketed. Okay. This is a clandestine speaking. Excuse me, what? The U.S. State Department are talking about Russian military tribunals for Nazis? It was difficult to find, but here is the statement from the U.S. State Department put out, I think, yesterday or the day before. By planning to hold so-called tribunals in Russian-controlled Mariupol against Ukraine's brave defenders, oh my God, the Kremlin is attempting to deflect responsibility for President Putin's war of aggression and distract from overwhelming evidence of the atrocities Russian forces have committed in Ukraine. The planned show trials are illegitimate and a mockery of justice, and we strongly condemn them. All members of Ukraine's armed forces, including domestic and foreign volunteers incorporated into the armed forces, are entitled to prisoner of war status if they are captured and must be afforded the treatment and protections commensurate with that status, according to the Geneva Conventions. Oh, like the Azov Battalion honored the Geneva Conventions when they captured Russian soldiers. We call on Moscow to comply with its obligations under international law. Like you abide by international law? The United States will continue to firmly stand with the Ukrainian people as they defend their freedom. What freedom? Zelensky's taken away all the rights of the Ukraine citizens. They don't even have an opposition party. They have no free press. They have no freedom of speech. What are you talking about? This is the corrupt regime where $55 billion of U.S. taxpayer dollars is going, and all our weapons. Of course, the U.S. State Department on Wednesday put out its response. And that was the above statement that I just read. And then this is clandestine speaking again. No way. The Biden administration are already trying to delegitimize the tribunals because the Russian allegations for these war crimes go all the way up to the top, to include Biden himself for the production of chemical and biological weapons, yep, all those bioweapon labs, as well as arming and assisting Nazi Ukrainian forces responsible for war crimes and atrocities on civilians. Big time. Like, the whole arsenal belonging to the U.S. military is now in the hands of Ukraine and the black market and dark web, selling them right and left. Russian military claim that the U.S., Ukraine are terrified of the testimony to be given by Ukrainian POWs because it will further cement and expose the crimes committed by the Kiev and Biden DNC regimes. As per usual, the Western media are complete radio silent on this subject, with the exception of Reuters, who puts out their own little tiny article about it that doesn't seem to get circulated. This came out yesterday at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I don't know of anyone in the community or the Western world who has mentioned it. Geneva, August 23rd, Reuters. The UN Human Rights Office expressed concern on Tuesday about plans by Russian-backed authorities to try Ukrainian prisoners of war, POWs, in the port city of Mariupol, possibly within days, saying such a process could itself amount to a war crime. Yeah, right. The Russian-backed authorities appear to be installing metal cages in a hall in Mariupol as part of plans to establish what they were calling an, quote, international tribunal. Ravina Shamdasani, spokesperson for the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, OHCHR, told a briefing. So, the international military tribunals are going down in Ukraine, just like Russia said they would. They are trying literal Azov Nazis for crimes against humanity, and the Biden administration doesn't like it. Russia has been extremely transparent in their reporting on Nazi war crimes and attacks on civilians, while the liberal globalist leaders of the West continue to gloss over the fact that they are supporting literal admitted Nazi forces in Ukraine. Another point of interest is, if these are to be true, international military tribunals, there would need to be multiple countries involved in overseeing the tribunals and multilateral agreement amongst the contributing militaries. So who are the militaries? I assume today's Shanghai Cooperation Organization Defense Summit between all the highest-ranking military officials of Eurasia had something to do with it. They did discuss U.S. war crimes and crimes against humanity today. See my piece on this meeting here. In conclusion, tribunals are happening, whether the West or the UN Rights Office likes it or not. Russia will start with Ukrainian POWs and work their way up the chain. The reckoning has begun. I don't know when, if, or how the top players get involved, but Russia has begun their ascent. We've been waiting for military tribunals for 6 years. It may not be like we pictured it, but it appears something is finally happening. I hope you all have a great coming week. Be strong, take care, and don't let the bastards get you.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station. We'll be right back.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest! You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
To Revolution in the Morning
at Revolution Radio FreedomSlips.com. Good morning, everybody. We are live on Studio A with everybody's favorite politically incorrect host, Mitchell Bob.
Yeah. Hey, hello. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are truly witnessing the evolution of revolution. That everybody just kind of follows along in a docile manner. I knew something was wrong.
Okay, now it's time for the regressive establishment's worst nightmare and the world's most dangerous radio host. Tell them how you feel, Mitchell.
Yeehaw!
Remember when I told you about the mainstream media? Your so-called celebrities and pedophilia. Remember that child trafficking and that Dorina Carone. Remember when I told you about the Georgia Guidestone?
Hey, brother.
Remember when I told you about the false flag operation? Remember when I told you about 5G radiation? Remember that I told you that... What I just want...
want to say that I told you so.
Amen. Come on down. It's time for Crazy Ass Fridays. Streaming live from Franklin County, Virginia. This is the Revolution in the Morning Show with your host, Mitchell Bupp. So come on down and join us at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Catch us on iTunes, talkstreamlive.com, TuneIn, Shoutcast, Winamp, Roku TV, and many other streaming services. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we are listener-supported, commercial-free. So if you can, please donate and become a member of our Patreon team or support some other way. We appreciate everything everybody does. The Revolution Radio Archives, they are free. You can go on over there and check out the archives. What is archived? Well, usually a year back and 4 a.m. the next morning. If you're looking for something that might play today, well, 4 a.m. the next morning, and it's in the archives. So remember that. So you just come back the next day and get your archive, listen to another show and download that one and get news and information that the mainstream bullshit machine doesn't want to tell you. Let's see. Wow, what the hell is here? My left palm's itching. Must be something good coming along here. There we go. Venezuela. Oh, Germany. That's right. Germany is the USA. Remember when we went through our toilet paper shortage? Yeah. Oh, hell, I haven't even got into, let's see, call to listen. I forgot that, didn't I? 518-906-1839 to reach Studio A. 1-859 to reach Studio B. That's right. 518. This fall. Yeah. So, Dr. Fauci has been put on notice that he will be subpoenaed to testify in front of Congress and that he will be criminally charged if he decides not to testify in front of Congress or refuses, so will the GOP actually do that? I don't know. There are a lot of bluff and just blow bullshit. Okay, that's our political system today. It's just buffalo bullshit. Seems to be all around. Okay. So, where should I start here? I don't even know. We'll just start with the Hunter Biden laptop and the revelations that the FBI asked Facebook to censor political misinformation that might be coming out. Is this really because the Republicans, or excuse me, the Democrats at the FBI had already were canning the investigation into Hunter Biden's laptop? One of the new whistleblowers that came out on this topic has said that the FBI leadership has said put out a memo that they would not interfere with another election. It is not the FBI's purview to or not to. If it is a legal matter and it is a criminal matter, they are deemed to investigate it. The statute of, this is what I complained about before with the Trump-Russia collusion stuff. The statute of limitations doesn't pause for elections. Period. End of story. Investigations don't stop because of elections. As we can plainly see with Donald Trump. But we have to remember we're talking about Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, basically all of the above Democrat leadership. And the intelligence services that they weaponized they squashed the algorithm from Facebook. The FBI asked them to do it. Here's the Joe Rogan with Mark Zuckerberg. Here it is.
How do you guys handle things when they're a big news item that's controversial? Like, there was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York Post.
Yeah, we have that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
So we took a different path than Twitter. Basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant. So our protocol is different from Twitter's. What Twitter did is they said, you can't share this at all. We didn't do that. What we do is we have, if something is reported to us as potentially misinformation, important misinformation, we also have this third party fact checking program because we don't want to be deciding what's true and false. And for the, I think it was 5 or 7 days when it was basically being determined whether it was false, the distribution on Facebook was decreased, but people were still allowed to share it. So you could still share it. You could still consume it.
So when you say the distribution is decreased,
it got shared.
How does that work?
It basically, the ranking in newsfeed was a little bit less. So fewer people saw it than would have otherwise. So it definitely...
By what percentage?
I don't know off the top of my head, but it's meaningful. But I mean, but basically, a lot of people were still able to share it. We got a lot of complaints that was the case. Obviously, this is a hyper political issue. So depending on what side of the political spectrum, you either think we didn't censor it enough or censored it way too much. But
right. But
we weren't sort of as black and white about it as Twitter. We just kind of thought, look, if the FBI, which I still view as a legitimate institution in this country, it's a very professional law enforcement, they come to us and tell us that we need to be on guard about something, then I want to take that seriously.
Did they specifically say you need to be on guard about that story?
I don't remember if it was that specifically, but it basically fit the pattern.
Well, so it fit the pattern. Here's the problem. The 2016 so-called Russia interference in the election was all a Hillary hoax. In fact, it was Hillary hiring and the Democrat Party and their operatives hiring Russians. Anyway, that said, did you notice what this Dick Weed said in the middle of this? You notice they never said anything about determining if it was true. He only said something about them determining if it was false. Okay? Isn't that a load of honky horse shit? Listen, the problem is that Zuckerberg, the FBI, and all these people have is that this laptop and the information in it was verified publicly multiple times. Meanwhile, you have 50 psyop sons of bitches from the not-so-intelligent community trying to tell you completely opposite. Why is that? Is that because when William Casey told the reporter, well, we'll know our operations are complete when everything the public believes is false? Today we live that. Today it's idiocracy. That we're being led into, and it's a self-fulfilling crash of America. You want a good example? Here's a good example for you. Chicago. That's right. Chicago schools are endorsing, well, rioting and looting as a right of reparations for, well, let's just say, I guess anybody who's disgruntled, you know? I mean, the Chicago school system put out some kind of a memo, some kind of a thesis on a page that pretty much gave the green light to blacks in particular in Chicago that looting was just part of the rebalance of the status quo. I don't know what you want to call it. It's hard for me to wrap my brain around people telling school districts, telling their students that rioting and looting are just ways to get reparations from the man. Now, whoever that may be, you know, it may be they ransacked a black or Asian store. Nobody cares, right? In the middle of doing it, they don't care. They just snot-nosed, you know, woke punks, you know, thinking that, you know, they can just walk in and steal shit or strong-arm robbery or some shit. That may work once in a while. But sooner or later, you're going to get your ass shot. Yeah. The idiocracy of this world that we're living in. Well, you know, that Ashley Biden diary that we all heard about, that we were told was another level of Russian disinformation, that two people have pled guilty to stealing the diary and selling it for $40,000 to Project Veritas and James O'Keefe. Well, here's the problem. The items were, how should we say it? They were abandoned in July of 2020. And it wasn't until October, November that people were even trying to hawk them for some money. Sorry, more than 30 days. Generally, in most situations, you have no right to your shit anymore. It's somebody else's junk. They can choose to throw it out or, well, post your shit online. Yeah. Anyway, Spain passes a only yes means yes sexual consent law. You know, that's just pretty damn pitiful, right? I mean, that is, that's just pitiful. When you have to pass a law that yes means yes and no means no. But evidently, there was the so-called wolf pack gang rape in 2016 that spurred this law. And five men raped an 18-year-old woman during the bull running festival in Pamplona and Spain. Anyway, in court, it was argued the video footage from the men's phones showed the woman immobile with her eyes shut during the attack. And that was, quote unquote, proof of consent. Listen, if you're passed out and you're not conscious, how in the hell are you going to consent to any damn thing? Oh, but, you know, liberals today, you know, a 3-year-old can consent to have a sex change operation. I mean, really, I mean, it's just start them on their transgender journey that they're 3 years old. But yeah. Jesus, what the hell is the matter with people on both sides of these fences? I mean, really. Good God, I'm glad you're on the other side of them damn fences because I don't want you around me. I mean, Jesus, people like that end up getting beat to death in their own community. Sorry. You know, that's what happens. Yeah. Meanwhile, in another search for justice, a search for equality, a search for equal rights and equal wages, Michigan, a Chipotle Mexican grill in Lansing, Michigan, has become the first Chipotle to unionize on Thursday, establishing the first union at the fast food restaurant nationwide at the chain. Anyway, I don't think it's nationwide. It's just at this store. The restaurant vote took place in the parking lot, 11-3, with two contested ballots. Yes, as Chipotle workers say, man, enough of this. You know, look, it's good enough for Amazon and Starbucks and Trader Joe's, and even Apple are now starting to have pressure for unionized workers. And the other thing is the young people are thinking more along the line of socialism. Anyway, makes the one girl who voted for the union says this is a gigantic first step towards doing that and improving the lives of future generations. She works at Chipotle, been there for 2 years. It makes $13.33 an hour. Anyway, so yeah. Remember, you know, Lowe's is going to give people, well, a couple $100 bonus, $55 million, or is it $80 million between 300,000 hourly workers? Yeah, and does that just hourly workers, or does that include their frontline management too? You have to ask these questions because these companies are, well, full of everything. I saw this clip and I said, wow, wow, just holy shit, wow. Yeah, now here's a guy thrown in jail. Why? This is an older clip, but this still stands today.
billions of dollars are spent on cancer research every year.
But imagine if the cure was as simple as a visit to your supermarket.
That's what one New York man is claiming, that the cure for cancer is in a seed.
But it's gotten him into a lot of trouble with the law. Mary Garofalo is here now with that incredible story. Mary.
Len, Rosanna, to some, Jason Vail is a saint. To others, he's a snake oil salesman. But one thing is for certain. He is stirring up a lot of controversy because he claims to have found a cure for cancer. But it's landed him behind bars.
Take a close look at this guy. He's in a maximum security prison in Westchester with some of the most dangerous criminals in the state. His bail's been set at almost $1 million. But he's not a murderer. He's not a rapist or a drug dealer. Believe it or not, the reason this guy's behind bars is because of these. Apricot seeds.
Yup, apricot seeds. And it's what he says these seeds can do that has landed him in jail.
All I want to do is help. I want to heal. I want to bring out the truth.
His name is Jason Vail, and years ago, he was a champion arm wrestler. But for the past decade, he's been fighting a much bigger battle.
Turned out there was a big tumor the size of a grapefruit.
You see, at 18 years of age, Jason was diagnosed with terminal cancer. After surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation, his cancer went into remission. But sadly, that wouldn't last, because a year later, the cancer came back. And this time, it spread to his kidney.
It was worse that time because I couldn't lay down. I was losing my balance because it had eaten into my spine.
Jason, exhausted with conventional medicine, decided to try a new and different approach.
I consider this medicine the right medicine.
And that medicine is the reason Jason may be facing up to 20 years behind bars.
I bought cases of peaches, and I would just pound the peaches open with a hammer.
Jason heard that eating the pits of apricots and peaches could be a cure for cancer. So like a lot of people fighting to save their lives, he was willing to try just about anything.
And unbelievably, after months of eating the seeds, the tumor doctors said would kill him started to disappear.
It was 2.5, shrunk down to 1.1.
Not only were his doctors surprised, but even Jason was stunned. And he was convinced the seeds were his lifesaver. He became a big-time believer.
Yeah, so he started selling his apricot seeds, and you know, big medicine, you know, they can't take that competition. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
What the heck is the Truth Jihad? Hey, I'm Kevin Barrett, host of Truth Jihad Radio. Federal prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this Truth Jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Yeehaw!
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I stand my ground. Won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground. And I won't back down.
That's right. Don't back down. Don't back down. Stand your ground. Today, those of us who were called anti-vaxxers, those of us who were banned from society, those of us who were shunned and looked at as if we were crazy when we tried to explain to people about the vaccine or about masking or about this germophobic virus fear that was instilled into people with a disease that had a 99% survival rate for most. I've got to go to the VA next week, and I'm just going to laugh. I'm going to point to them. I'm going to tell them how wrong they were. And they ask why I don't come up there too often. Well, I saved my life. I let my body try to heal itself before I try to hijack it, the system itself. Well, anyway, so come on down and join us, freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Yeah, here it is, straight from Glenbeckistan. That's right, straight from Glenbeckistan. Here is a quick synopsis of the Trump Mar-a-Lago, how should we say it, cover-up. in the attempt of the deep state and the FBI to get documents that Donald Trump has that is embarrassing and shows the criminal intent of not only the FBI, the Department of Justice, and the Obama administration. Here's Glenn from his hometown.
One day before the president left the White House, he issued this memo. Trump was declassifying certain materials related to the FBI Crossfire Hurricane investigation. What could that be? Now, I want you to keep this in mind, because President Trump has claimed that everything the FBI sees has been declassified. Is it maybe this? Well, as you see the timeline, I think you're going to say, yeah. January 20th, he leaves the White House. Okay, he declassifies all the Russiagate stuff. President Trump's chief of staff said most of the Russiagate documents had been sent to the DOJ for redactions. But as per Newsweek reporting, 27 boxes of material had been sent accidentally to Mar-a-Lago. Remember, this was not the political people. This was the GAO, the Government Accounting Office. They're the ones that packed everything up. So there weren't any political people. Well, this kicked off conversations between Trump's team and the National Archives to find out what needed to be shipped back. So let's jump ahead to this year. In January, Trump team transferred 15 of the 27 boxes. They went to the National Archives. Now, some of those reportedly were marked classified. We still don't know, you know, if they were nuclear secrets or not. But part of the documents we know were declassified back in January 2020. Remember this. It also shows that Trump's team was working with the government. So why would you take an ex-president and march people out for a raid? Well, getting ahead of myself, on March 24th, in the middle of all of this, Trump stayed on track. Yeah, this is what he was really concerned about. He filed a RICO lawsuit going after Hillary Clinton and everyone else involved in Russiagate. You know, getting justice for the collusion fiasco that had been constant. Now, I find it interesting that this occurred at this time. Why? Well, it was just a couple of weeks later, on April 7th, that it was leaked to the Washington Post by unnamed DOJ sources. Because, of course, the DOJ was investigating improper removal of presidential records at Mar-a-Lago. Now, that's crazy timing, isn't it? I mean, boom, boom.
And boom. Yeah, it's not crazy timing. It's, you know, we have to understand that the President Biden waived Trump's privileges and rights without even consulting him or what's the best way to say it? Trump, I think the way it really is supposed to work is that Biden can't waive them, but in his case, well, they did. And it is sheer crazy, you know, that what we see and what we know is going on today. Today, we still see the media trying to work over and protect the FBI, point to Trump and say Russia collusion, and then completely forget about the Hillary Clinton campaign and the manufactured investigation that was followed. This is just, crazy. This is David Agantis.
Lawrence Mar-a-Lago. Patel was publicly making the case that Trump had essentially unilateral right to declassify materials as president and was continuing to argue that there were materials from the early days of the Russia investigation that would show that the government, the FBI, was working with the media, with the Hillary Clinton campaign to manufacture an investigation that's long-running. Lawrence.
And, well, it's been more than proven that that has been the case. And, you know, in all honesty, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the Washington Post and the New York Times are actually threats to the national security of America. Yeah. It's a hell of a thing, isn't it? What else we got going on here? A diplomat accused of rape in New York City is back in South Sudan, where he's safe with, of course, diplomatic immunity because he was, I believe, working at the United Nations. Charles Dickens Ememi Olai is back in South Sudan. His government confirmed it on Thursday. The 46-year-old was arrested in New York on Sunday on suspicion of rape. A female neighbor told cops he followed her into her apartment and raped her twice. Olai invoked diplomatic immunity to get out of jail and then fled the country. On Thursday, South Sudan's Ministry of Foreign Affairs said he'd been immediately recalled. It claimed it would cooperate with the U.S., but wouldn't say whether Olai would be extradited. Neighbors say he was often outside drinking, and no one believed he could hold such an official job. Just another, you know, just another failure of the system. A movie coming out, the My Son Hunter. Here's the trailer. Holy hell. MySonHunter.com. I pre-ordered the Hunter Biden movie. And it must be an unauthorized biography there, huh? Probably seems to be. Yeah, what do we got here? Come on.
You know who I am.
They told me you were VIP. All connected to the government.
What kind of a moron forgets to pick up his laptop at a repair shop? You're a Biden. Act like one. Everything he built, life, I just ruined it all.
I want to know everything that's on that laptop that can ruin my erection.
My friends, it's time to party!
Didn't you know? I'm taking control. I'm making an appearance and I gotta go. Cause I get a man put their hands up. Yeah, I walk in and they go bananas. I'm a bad guy.
I'm an artist.
Tell me how I can help you.
I don't deserve help.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I've been through worse.
You're the smartest man I know.
Thanks, Dad.
I just wish I could smack some sense into you.
I'll never forget Corey Bob. He was a bad dude. No joke.
Dad, we were talking about suffering.
No.
I can't seem to find anything but positive stuff on the Bidens.
Who's the point man for the foreign policy in the Obama regime?
Joe Biden.
So it looks like he need $1 billion.
So the obvious next question is,
where's Hunter?
I can remember getting paid some money, but I can't remember what for.
Well, my dad says we never discuss my businesses, period.
Or my cut.
What's happening in there? Joe's in on it.
Party's over!
You had everything, Hunter, and you threw it all away. You hope the laptop will take down everybody with you.
Get out!
Looks like it pays. That's right. Corruption pays. Just ask Hillary Clinton. I hope y'all are having a great day. God bless you. What other news and information we got here? Oh, man. a person in the UK was at one a pro-immigrant protest and was asking people if, you know, that they're there protesting for the rights of the migrants and the refugees, asked them one question. Will you adopt one and take him into your house?
I just noticed your placard said refugees welcome here.
Yes.
I'm just wondering if you'd like to go down on a list saying you're willing to take the refugees into your home.
Of course I am. Only problem is I rent.
You rent?
Yeah.
Renter.
An issue?
Yeah, because they've got, well, they put 9 bedrooms in a 4-bedroom house, so we're pretty much
jammed. So, to actually adopt a refugee and take him into your home?
Well, if I had any space,
if you had any space.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a nice place to bring them, because it's a bit overcrowded.
Right.
But yes, if I had the space, definitely.
Thank you very much for that, love. Pop one into your home.
I live in a rental place, so I can't.
Rental?
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Oh, yeah, sounds like, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like the mayor of New York. Damn! Man, can't we send these, can we ship them from New York to D.C., you know, so we give them the mayor of Bowser. I mean, she's still a hardcore immigrant, you know, illegal immigrant, you know, 5 million illegal immigrants, basically, in the United States in the first year and a half of the Biden administration. 5 million. Remember, it wasn't long ago, it was just a few years ago, that Democrats would say, oh, God, what are you complaining about? There's only 11 million illegal immigrants here in the United States, and that's all. And, you know, we got 1.12 million that have final deportation orders that, well, we'll get around to somewhere along the way, but by that time they'll have kids, grandkids, you know, and they're going to try to deport them then. Oh, hell, I don't know. That's why I'm in favor of a revolving door policy at the U.S. border. Said people will be transported back to the nation. Whence they came from, their origin, country of origin. That's what we should be doing. But in the UK, they have, what, 20,000, 30,000 a year right now? Hell, they had 1,200 in one day, the just a few days ago. I mean, you can see the cliffs of Dover. That would mean that you can see the beaches of Normandy, that you can see the beaches of France. And of course, if the world was really flat, it wouldn't be much of anything. Just to paddle right across. Oh, you only have to go halfway. Don't worry, you know, the French will make sure you get halfway, and then the British will make sure that they take you the rest of the way. Yeah. Oh, God. I'm gonna play that right before the break. Maybe I shouldn't. It's just supposed to be funny. Anyway, yeah, but I guess you just, you know, the unredacted humor sometimes. It's, Jesus. Anyway, Andrew Weissman, Robert Mueller's shit dog. You know, the one a real un-American, I consider Andrew Weissman one of the new Benedict Arnolds in our era. And he said he was shocked. He was shocked at the redacted memo that was finally released. And he says, I can't believe that the attorney general said there was no crime, and then the predicate on the one was all bad. And I just, you know, Andrew Weissman, we spent $40 million investigating Trump, and we couldn't hardly come up with anything. You don't know how hard it was. That's what Andrew Weissman is really trying to say. Meanwhile, Andrew Weissman and company wiped their phones and all the evidence and all of the devices that they had. Are we to believe that all of the memos, that all of the notes and all of the papers written by the Mueller team have been destroyed, lost forever? Well, I really don't believe that. I believe they chose to hide them. And not look for them either. Anyway, will the Inspector General actually look for them? Or, you know, where in the frick is Congress? Well, I know it's controlled by Democrats, but Jesus. I think the Democrats and the FBI, you know, is just, one's blackmailing the other. And the different parts are blackmailing each other. And they're all going to hell in a handbasket. Ron DeSantis was asked about Charlie Crisp, who accused Ron DeSantis of being a dictator.
Well, I think the interesting thing over the last couple years is you had people that kept wanting to lock people down. I was one of the few in this country that lifted people up. We protected people's freedoms, jobs, businesses. We made sure kids could be in school, and we liberated 22 million Floridians from local mandates and restrictions. We protected them against vax mandates so that they could keep working without having that. And I would note, you go back to the summer of 2020, I got a letter from every Democrat member of the U.S. House saying you need to shut down Florida in July of 2020. If we had done that, what they had wanted to do, this state would be in the toilet right now. We made the right decision by keeping the state open. So I think the people that are dictatorial are the ones that want to lock you down. I think the people are dictatorial, the ones that wanted to lock kids out of school for a year, which all of them wanted to do here in Florida, and I stopped it and made sure the kids could be in school. I think it's dictatorial to say that someone should lose their job based on their choice about whether to get a COVID shot or not. So that's just the reality. And the reason why we're setting tourism records, the reason why we're the number one state for net in-migration, is because people understand, you know, we've stood for freedom.
That's right. They have stood for a free and open society. They didn't really succumb to the Dr. Fauci madness and the BRICS madness. They didn't succumb to the political class and the unprofessionalism of the so-called professional class. You know, I keep going back and forth to this, that you know, the failure of this professional class has just, they've screwed everybody, because these are the people that are supposed to be the experts. These are the people that we're supposed to turn to for advice and information about topics like the pandemics and all this other stuff. And they blew it. They, as smart as they say they are, and they all now admit they were flying, you know, doing this stuff on the fly, making these decisions without real science, and more on this erring, on more, it turned out to be political science. Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine student loans now? $10,000 a person. And people are not happy.
Not only are they not paying Tucker, they're actually being rewarded by this policy. And that's what makes it such a huge mistake. And I got to say, Tucker, there is a political dimension to this. Of course, I'm running against Tim Ryan, Democrat from Ohio, who's been on every side, he's flip-flopped on every side of the student debt issue. But if you think about this, 2 months before the election, Joe Biden has given a massive windfall to Democratic Party donors. It's one of the reasons why I'd encourage people to help us fight back at jdvance.com. But this has very direct implications for the middle class in this country. Tucker, you know as well as anybody that if you look behind a lot of our bad policies, whether it's the student bailouts, the globalization, moving stuff to China, whatever you want to say, it's very often a massive transfer of wealth from middle class, hardworking people to the upper class in this country. That's exactly what this is, a massive bailout for people who've made bad decisions and are doing very well economically.
Well, yeah, it's partly, you know, it's, but the other thing is, it's the educational industrial complex, you know, this college shit manufactured by liberals, when, you know, the truth is, you need a hell of a lot more workers in the factories than you need masters and PhDs in the offices. That's the real truth. But education has failed. The educational system has been turned into big business. That's all. Big business. Hey, we'll be right back. Station promotions going right now. After a long day of research and trying to wake people up to what's going on in our world, I need to take a break and find my center. I do this by listening to music or watching a great movie. If you find yourself doing the same, then come chill out with me every Saturday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Studio B, Crypt Rick's The Decompression Hour. It's time to put down that research and crank your stereo.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show,
The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.